Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Did you hear the word of water of purification just now? Amen. We're going to talk about that today. I believe it's going to be a fresh revelation of Jesus for us. So I want you to be prepared. Amen. And allow the Lord to minister to you with this water of purification. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So how has your week been? Has it been kind of like, Lord, there's part that I could use some more help, right? Or it could be, you know, this week, you know, the Lord has been, you know, just dispensing a lot of His grace and love and peace. Amen. So just like to encourage you, beloved of God, that the Lord is for you and the Lord is not against you. Amen. I just want to let you know how much the Lord really, really cares about your situation. Amen. How many of you know that the Lord's mercy endures forever? Do you know that? The Lord's mercy endures forever. It's true, during the times when Israel was attacked by three different armies. Can you imagine? I mean, if you are facing one big army, imagine yourself in the position of Jehoshaphat. This is, we're talking about a history, real history that happened. Now, the Bible says everything in the Bible was written for our benefit. In other words, God wants us to take what happened in the Bible and we learn from it, and then it will somehow help your situation, right? The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. So it's not just a historical event, but this is a story of King Jehoshaphat, one of the kings of Judah. At that time, Israel kingdom was split into two. One, you know, they're siding with King Jehoshaphat, right? The Judah, the kingdom of Judah. The other one is the kingdom of Israel. All right. Now the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of the Lord. That means he observed the commandments of God. He lived in a way that glorifies the Lord. He did not worship Baal. So this is a godly king, right? King Jehoshaphat, someone that that we can learn from his life and we can be blessed. Now, like I said, Israel at that time, beloved of God, was attacked by three different armies. Do you feel like your life is attacked by one problem on the left, another problem on the right, another one right in front of you? You feel like, wow, you know, I am besetted by three different armies, the Bible says. Now, was it because King Jehoshaphat was living in sin that he was attacked by three different armies? No, the Bible says he was a godly king. So just because, right, you live a godly life, you walk in the righteousness of Jesus, right, doesn't mean that the enemy will not try, right, to steal your peace, to steal your joy. Amen. Nobody kicks a dead horse. Have you heard that expression? Amen. So I want to let you know, if you feel like your life is beset by challenges, by three different armies. Oh, Pastor, you know, I experienced a lying symptom of pain in my hand this past week, right? That's like an army that's attacking you, right? And on the other side, well, Pastor, I've been experiencing stress lately in my business or in my school or in my workplace. That's another army attacking you, right? On the right. Wow, Lord, what's going on? Well, beloved of God, today the Holy Spirit will give you the word of encouragement, right? You are still the righteousness of God in Christ, just like King Jehoshaphat. Do you understand? It does not mean you live in sin. All these problems is not from God. God was not the one who brought the three different armies. They were trying to attack Israel because they just hated Israel. How many of you know that, you know, the devil hates you? The devil wants to see your life miserable because his time is short, the Bible says. Jesus is coming back soon, and the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire forever. Right? So what would the devil do? He hates you. Right? Because you're created in the image of Jesus. Whenever the devil looks at you, he sees Jesus. He knows he's no match for Jesus. Right? So what does he attack? He attacks the body of Jesus, the church. Amen? So, beloved of God, but here's the good news to let you know. We can learn from the life of Jehoshaphat. He was attacked by three different armies. You know what? The first thing that Jehoshaphat did, he came before the presence of the Lord. So that is something that we can learn from the life of King Jehoshaphat. Right? Whatever things that seems to be, just like a big mountain in your life right now, can you lay down that problem before the Lord under the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, you know, this problem is too big for me to handle. Right? I cannot fight these three different big armies. I just can't. I don't have the resource to fight it. But Lord, you are my victory. Right? You're the one who will fight my battle. So beloved of God, whatever challenges that you're going through right now, because the Lord is on your side, right? You are already more than a conqueror in Jesus. Amen? I mean, the Lord is on your side. God is not against you, right? And one of the things that the tactic of the enemy is, whenever you are beset with challenges and problems, what do you think the enemy likes to do? The enemy will not point you to Jesus. The enemy will likely point to yourself. What have you done lately? What sin have you committed, right? How come you're dealing with this problem, right? Or what have you not done lately? Either way, it's a catch-22, right? So if the devil can point to you for you to look to yourself, right? To your own performance, to your own thought life. Maybe your thought life has not been as glorious, as glorifying Jesus as you ought to be. Or maybe your lifestyle is not as glorifying Jesus as you ought to be. You feel like, well, I haven't been exercising as much lately. You know, I have been eating one too many cheesecake, whatever, okay? You know, all these things, right? And then when you have pain, right? The enemy, or many times, sometimes even our own conscience, you know, our Mr. Lawyer, well, you should know better. You're supposed to eat more vegetables, right? More vegetables, more fruits, amen? By the way, those are good things. I'm not saying don't eat vegetables and fruits. Eat as much vegetables and fruits, but I'm telling you, our salvation is not found in the Garden of Eden. Amen? Our salvation is found in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the blood of Jesus was shed. Do you understand? The Garden of Eden can give you, you know, the best organic food and everything, and, you know, kosher food, right? But many in Israel, they were still sick. Jesus had to heal them. And the only source of our health and healing is from the Garden of Gethsemane. In other words, the Garden of Redemption. The garden of the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the enemy came against King Jehoshaphat. And he said, Lord, this army is too big for me to handle. Actually, it's a good thing when you feel like you are at the end of yourself. Because there is a tendency, sometimes if you are strong in yourself, that you're not going to depend on the Lord. I'm just going to take my money from the bank. You know, I can just write a check. You know, problem fixed, right? Now, that's a blessing. I'm not saying that's a problem. But I'm saying, don't put your trust in money. Don't put your trust in your own ability to save yourself. Well, if this problem happened, I can always take a pill, for example. Don't put your trust in men. Because those pills were made by men, right? Those pills were made by researchers. They find all kinds of different compounds and chemicals that will kind of alleviate that pain in your body. But healing comes from the Lord. Healing comes from the Lord. It does not come from drugs. It does not come from your perfect lifestyle. Well, Pastor, I spend 30 minutes every day, always jogging, always running. Okay. Well, beloved of God, that's good. I want you to keep up a good, healthy lifestyle. Eat the best, healthiest, organic, vegetable, fruits as much as possible. But don't allow those things to be the source of your confidence. Right? Because those things, they are good, right? But God has to be the source of your confidence. And this is what happened to King Jehoshaphat. Because he says, Lord, I can't help myself. Everything that in my resource, even if I bring up my entire goal, right, is not enough to satisfy the three different armies. They're going to say, no, we're not satisfied with your goal. We want to annihilate you. We want to come and take over your kingdom. Right? So I can't depend on my goal. These enemies cannot be appeased, right? I cannot depend on my armies, on my strength, right? The Bible says, you know, even the youth would fall, the Bible says. But those who wait upon the Lord, they will be having the renewal of their strength like the eagles. Did you know that even young people will grow tired and fall and grow weak? You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know how many people are listening to me online. I hope there are many young people who are listening to my message, right? You know, young people are the future of our country. Don't you think so? You know, young people, they are, you know, your children, or if you have grandchildren, right? They are the future of the country. And I hope they really listen to what Pastor Henry is saying here, that, you know, in the days of our youth, we are to seek the Lord and not depend on our own strength and ability, because even the youth would fall, the Bible says. But God says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength like the eagles. Do you understand? So here is what happened to King Jehoshaphat. He waited upon the Lord. He said, I can't fight this battle. The army is too strong. It's like you casting all of your worries and your problems, you put them underneath the feet of Jesus, right? And you let Jesus fight the battle. And here's one thing that is very, very interesting, right? Now, imagine yourself as a king. Now, what would you do as a king? This is a real battle scenario. You got thousands and thousands of armies on the other side. You know, you would normally, logically, you would send the cavalry or the people, you know, with swords and spears to go to the front line of the battle, right? To fight that. Jehoshaphat did something really strange. He put the worshippers in front of the battle line. I mean, that is totally doesn't make sense, right? These worshippers, they play tambourines, right? They play the flute, and they're supposed to go before the army to praise the Lord and worship God. That's like, Jehoshaphat, you are endangering them. They're going to be slaughtered. They're going to be defenseless, right? But that's what he did. The first thing that he did was he sent the worshipers. He sent the people who praise God in front of the battle line. Now, do you think that the Holy Spirit put that in the Bible just to make the Bible thicker? Or do you think there is a lesson learned there? Why King Jehoshaphat sent the worshipers in front of the battle line? Because the first reaction, beloved of God, when you're getting ready for that battle, you always need to have the heart of worship. The heart of worship unto the Lord. In other words, you put praise in your mouth. And one of the words that's written there in the Bible that King Jehoshaphat put into the mouth of the worshipers is that, bless the Lord, for His mercies endures forever. Amen? Amen. His mercies endures forever, beloved of God. Right? And that word mercy there in Hebrew is the word chesed. Chesed in Hebrew. You know, it's difficult to translate. In some Bible, it's translated as loving kindness. Or in King James, mercy. Right? But chesed, okay, in a new covenant, you know, one of the best ways to describe this rich word of the word chesed is the word grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Grace. Bless the Lord, for His grace endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is amazing, beloved of God. Amen. So that is something that I like to kind of encourage you, right? Maybe you feel like you are in a battlefield. You feel like you are surrounded by three different large armies. Oh, by the way, the Lord fought for Jehoshaphat without him having a single casualty in his army. Think about that. Put yourself in the shoes of Jehoshaphat. This is like the end of the world for him. Unless God shows up, likely his head's going to be chopped off. But what a turnaround, beloved of God. What a turnaround. Whenever you seek the Lord, your first response is worshiping the Lord. Father, you know, this health challenge that I'm experiencing, or the stress that I'm experiencing, or maybe sleepless nights. Well, you know, I've been having challenge sleeping at night and everything. It seems like it's a big army. You know, I feel defenseless. I feel helpless because the problem has been going on for quite some time. Right? It's like a big army, right? The big army, the idea of a big army is to discourage you, to make you feel so small, right, that you give up before you even could fight. You already give up inside, you know. Did you know that the children of Israel could not possess the promised land because they were already defeated in their mind? They were not defeated because they don't have enough armies or strength, physical strength, to fight the giants, because they see themselves like a grasshopper before these giants. And so, beloved of God, I want to encourage you right now. You know, the Lord is on your side. The Lord is for you and not against you. And the problem happens, number one, is not from God, because God does not send problems. Amen. God is not the one who sends temptations. But many times, you know, it's because you've been running like a champion. I mean, here you are, all right? You've been growing. You've been growing. You're like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Sometimes you don't realize how much you have grown. You don't realize how much peace, how much joy, how much just the fruits of the Holy Spirit manifesting in you. It's very hard to see sometimes, you know, until you look at some of the people, right, that you know, your neighbors, or even sometimes things that you may be looking at the news, some of the horrible things that happen, right? But you don't know how much you've grown in the fruit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, if this continues, this is bad news for the devil, you know? I mean, you are growing like a tree planted by the streams of living water, right? Your root is getting deeper and deeper, although you don't know how, right? And many times you don't realize it, because many times there are challenges, problems that we are preoccupied, but we have been growing so much, you know, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking this not just by faith to encourage you, but that's what's happening in your life. Many times you are so focused on the problem, you don't see many good things that has already been happening in your life. The root in you. You know, the thing that used to bother you a year ago is like water off a duck's back for you. I mean, it takes someone to kind of pinch you and kind of slap you on the face. Hey, wake up to reality, you know. How come you're not as stressful as this neighbor over here or these people over there? It's because you have been receiving really, really gourmet food. Really, really healthy food. Uncommon special food that you're receiving that is full of Jesus and what He has done. Right? You know, I endeavor, right, in our church to always help you see your righteousness in Jesus, not in yourself, right? I always point you to Jesus. You know, I don't put demands on you. I don't put like, hey, you got to pray longer. You got to give more money. Or make sure you don't miss a single Sunday, you know, to church. You know, you can be yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to flow in your life. You are so blessed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that the devil cannot just sit idly. Because if you continue to grow like that, it'll be too hard for the devil to try to sway you once your root is deeply established. Have you tried to get rid of a tree that is, a 50-year-old tree that the root is so deep? I mean, it would take like a bulldozer, you know, like a really, really big machine to get rid of that tree. Why? Because the root is so deep, it's too late then. So the best time to shake you, right, is when you are growing. And you're growing, by the way, by faith. You're like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Amen? So I encourage you to continue to put a premium on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? And continue to come and hear and be well fed with really good gourmet food of, again, His mercy, His grace endures forever. Amen? So, you're on a winning team. Amen? Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You're on a winning team. So, again, nobody kick a dead horse, okay? Alright? If you feel like you're surrounded by three different big armies, it's not because you have sin or God is sending problems to you. No. It's likely because the enemy does not want you to grow any further. Because there will come a time when your root is so deep, you become the untouchable. Do you want to be the untouchable? Jesus is one example of the untouchable, right? The devil thought that, let me go ahead and tempt Jesus, right? So he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, do you remember? And he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. In other words, make the law, stones are the picture of the law, right? Make the law to be your sustenance, to be your bread. And Jesus said, no, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wow. The devil says, wow, that's not a good news here. I can't touch Jesus on the basis of law because he knows that, you know, man is supposed to live only by the word of God. And what was the word of God that Jesus was living by? He was just water baptized. Do you remember? He just got out of water. And what was the word of God that was still fresh in his mind? You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Do you remember that? Man, he has been cherishing that. He has been feeding on that. The devil says, no. This is not good. If Jesus continues to meditate that the Lord's mercy is going to endure forever, he is God's beloved Son, in whom God is well pleased. No. I'm going to have to tempt him. All right? So Jesus was feasting on the Word. Do you know that the Word of God is more delicious than whatever is the best cheeseburger in town? Whatever is the best food that you really enjoy? The Word of God is more delicious than any food that you enjoy, beloved of God. In fact, the more you enjoy the Word of God, right? The food that you enjoy, the physical food that you enjoy, man, you will enjoy them even more. But it starts with feeding your soul with the Word of God. So God says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Uh-oh. Untouchable. The devil says, he is untouchable. Okay, let me tempt the second time. What was the second temptation of the devil to Jesus? The Bible says, the devil tempted Jesus to jump from a tall building. Right? So, okay, he said, okay, so you quote me verses, Jesus, right? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil is smart. The devil also knows scriptures. Do you know? So, the devil this time, okay, Jesus, do you remember what Psalm 91 says? Psalm 91 says, He will make sure that angels will be watching you so that your foot will not be dashed against the stone. Wow! So, beloved of God, the second temptation of the devil is, if you're not strong in Scripture, in the written Word of God, the devil also can use Scripture. But he quoted the Scripture out of context, right? Jump, Jesus, from that tall building because he will send angels to catch your feet. What did Jesus say, right? Do not tempt the Lord your God, right? It is written, do not test the Lord your God. Right? Yes, there are angels watching over you, right? But jumping from a 20-story building is like testing God and say, God, I'm going to test your word to see if you're really true or not. And Jesus said, do not test the Lord your God, right? And so he used Scripture again. So, beloved of God, how can you become untouchable? Number one, live under grace, not under law. Do not turn the stones into your bread, into your food. Well, Pastor, you know, it's because I'm such a law-abiding citizen. I'm such a good person, right? Morality is good, right? We want to live a holy life. In fact, the Bible says, Apostle Paul says, I want you to live a holy life. I want you to have sanctification, you know, holy. But holiness is something that happens as the result of knowing who we are in Jesus, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, right? Don't be shocked if sinners sin. Sinners sin, right? But the righteousness of God, they do the right things. Not because they're trying to be right, but because they are righteous. Amen? So, beloved of God, I just want to encourage you. The point number one to be untouchable, right, is to live under grace and not under law. Don't put confidence in the flesh. Don't put confidence in your performance. Don't put confidence, well, I haven't been sinning lately, that kind of thing, right? I haven't been thinking thoughts that are not holy lately. That's not your confidence. Your confidence is always on the Lord Jesus. Number two, do not test the Lord your God, right? Do not test the Lord your God. In other words, you got to know the Scripture. Don't allow the devil to take the Scripture out of context. And how do you think the devil today would try to rob you out of a life that is untouchable? Is by preaching the word that is a mixture. The devil can mix the law and grace together. You know, one of the typical teachings that you heard many times, even today, that's still prevalent in some places, right? You just don't know how blessed you are to be hearing this gospel truth, beloved of God. I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor of this church, but because I know the fruits that I'm enjoying out of the word that the Lord even ministers through my mouth. I'm very careful in my sermons to make sure that I'm not putting law and grace mixed together. All right? For example, things like, do you know the reason why you're not receiving your healing? Is because of your sin. You better repent of your sins first, and then God will heal you. Now, if God can only heal people after they stop sinning, nobody could be healed. Because all those people that Jesus healed, they all had sin. In fact, none of them were born again because Jesus had not died at the cross yet. Can you imagine? Sinners can receive healing. Right? And so, beloved of God, well, I want to let you know, by the grace of the Lord Jesus today, right? The Scripture that God wants you to focus today in the New Covenant to make your life untouchable is the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pure Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That you are no longer under law, but you are under grace. Yes, we don't want to live in sin, but if you are having a challenge in your body, receive your healing. It's so much easier to live a holy life after that pain goes away, right? Can you imagine if you have toothaches, for example? Will you be a very unselfish person or you'll be going to be a selfish person? Who do you think the most if you have a toothache? Will you be thinking about some orphan somewhere that don't have enough food? No, you'll be thinking about yourself. You'll be thinking about the toothache that you're experiencing. So in God's wisdom, look, let me heal your toothache. In the name of Jesus, anyone who has a toothache, the Lord heals you right now under the sound of my voice. If you've been listening, you've been following to what I'm saying so far, right? Faith has been imparted unto you. In the name of Jesus, let that tooth be healed, be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, right, once you're healed of that pain, likely you can love other people better. You can think about someone in your family better. You can love them more because now you're not bothered by the toothaches anymore. Do you understand? So God's principle is always, you know, my goodness will lead you unto repentance. Right? Allow me to love on you. Allow me to just, you know, heal you. Amen? Allow me just to bless you in whatever you do, even when you know that you don't deserve it. But hey, it's not by my own goodness, it's by Jesus as my holiness and my righteousness that I'm receiving this blessing. Amen, beloved of God? And so what was the third temptation of the devil? To try to make Jesus to be no longer the untouchable. All right, the Bible says the devil tempt Jesus with the riches of the world. Right, the devil showed Jesus, look at the glamour, right? Look at the movie stars, look at the pop stars, look at the singers, look at some of these famous people, right? That you see all the time in the news, right? Look, I'm going to make you famous. Jesus, I'm going to give you all this glory, all this riches of this world, if you just bow down and worship me. That was the temptation of the devil, right? What did Jesus say? Again, he used scripture. It is written, you shall worship only the Lord your God. The devil says, okay, it's hopeless. Okay, this man knows the scripture. Jesus is the untouchable. Do you want to have a life, again, that is the untouchable? Be grounded in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, I hope you're blessed today. Can I summarize the appetizers today that the Holy Spirit has presented unto us, right? Number one, if you are experiencing challenges in life, like Jehoshaphat, man, problem, three different big armies. By the way, let me let you know what happened after God basically defeated the enemy. What happened was, it took them 3 days to take all the gold and silver, all the precious possessions of the enemy. So if you respond correctly to whatever challenges that you're going through, there is a great reward awaiting for you. It took Jehoshaphat and his team 3 days to basically take all the gold and silver from the enemy's camp, and they have become richer than before they were attacked. So, beloved of God, if you respond according to the word of God, all right, you are in a position to become richer. Like King Jehoshaphat, if you don't throw in the towel, if you don't say, nah, man, forget about the messages of grace. We've got to put a little bit of self-human efforts here. I got to make sure that I live such a life that is so holy in the presence of God, and then I feel like I earn the blessings of God. God says, no, no, no. Don't put your own self-efforts, because Jehoshaphat did not have to lift a finger. There's not a single human effort on his part to be able to have this rich, great reward, because the Lord will fight your battle. So that was the appetizer number one to let you know, right? It's not from God. That problem is not from God. But in spite of what the enemy, the devil, is trying to do against you, right? As long as you fix your eyes on the Lord, you have the proper response like King Jehoshaphat. And that is a worshipful response. It's a praise response. The first thing that you do when you have a flat tire, for example, in the name of Jesus, Father God, everyone at Life Giving Church International is protected from having to call an emergency vehicle because they got stuck in the middle of the road because of a flat tire. You are protected from flat tire. Okay? But if there is a flat tire moment in your life, right? The first response that you want to have to come out of your mouth is a worshipful response. Father, I don't know everything that's going on, right? I don't know why this thing is happening, but all I know is, Father, You are God. And I praise You, I worship You, and Father, I know this pain in my body is temporary. It doesn't mean I'm growing old, amen? It just means that Your healing is manifesting in my body, right? I'm getting stronger, and I receive the renewal of my strength, the renewal of my youth, like the eagles. The youth may fall, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength like the eagles. So, beloved of God, that's the proper response. Worship, praise. Amen? Worship, praise the Lord. And let the Lord fight your battle. Because Jehoshaphat sent the worshipers ahead in the battlefield. Do you see that? That's something that the Holy Spirit wants us to remember, right? Now, that was the first appetizer about Jehoshaphat that we can learn. The second thing, the second appetizer to remind you is that, all right, if you continue to keep up the good work of believing in Jesus, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So when things happen, you worship the Lord by saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That means you give glory to Jesus. It's no longer based on your law keeping, your good performance. It's based on what Jesus has done at the cross, right? So you keep on worshiping God. And you keep this good work up. You keep it up. There will come a time when you become the untouchable. The enemy is not going to waste time on you. The enemy is going to find somebody else to devour. Did you know that the devil cannot just devour anyone? He looked for the weak ones. The devil looked for the ones that like to isolate themselves. They no longer come to church. They just stay, you know, by themselves in the room, right? Watching TV or playing on their phone. They no longer associate with other believers. Have you seen like Discovery Channel or even some of the public television shows of the animals in Africa, you know, and things like that, the lions, you know, they're prowling the weak ones. They usually target the weak ones, and not only the weak ones, they target the ones that are by themselves. If you watch carefully in the book of Peter, the devil is prowling around looking for the one that he can devour. That means that is already a clue that the devil cannot devour anyone. Only the ones that isolate themselves, like the animals that are weak, they're isolating themselves. They no longer come to church. They just isolating themselves, right? Those are the target that the devil usually likes to devour. And you can become someone that is totally undevourable or untouchable, like what I'm saying, right? If you keep up the good work, and your good work is simply to keep on believing that by the blood of Jesus, you are righteous, you are clean, you worship the Lord, right? I don't know what's going on, but Lord, I trust that this matter is already under Your feet. Alright? You keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus. You don't allow your circumstances to dominate you, right? But you look unto Jesus, no matter how big the storm is. You can even walk on water like Apostle Peter did, if you keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen? You become supernatural. Hey, if you can walk on water, man, that's untouchable, man. Has anyone ever walked on water? Man, that is supernatural. That is the untouchable life. If you keep up the good work, right? Keep on feeding the gourmet food, the word that is unadulterated with mixture, you know, law and grace together. That's what drove Apostle Paul crazy, is like, man, who was hindering you from running such a good race? Did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? You know, Apostle Paul was angry. He was like, man, who taught you this mixture gospel? that 50% depends on you, 50% depends on God for you to be justified before God. Right? He was so angry. He says, let anyone who teach you gospel, another gospel that I never preach, let that man be accursed. Man, I don't know about you, man. I don't want to be cursed, man. I would rather people say all kinds of evil. People say all kinds of evil about your pastor. They say my teaching is of the devil and that kind of stuff. I say, I would rather receiving the reproach and the persecution of men than receiving the curse that Apostle Paul says if you preach a mixture of law and grace, man. Right? Man, I rejoice, man, being persecuted, being said all kinds of evil things. You know, he's preaching, you know, the doctrine of the devil. He's teaching people to sin. He's compromising, that kind of stuff. Man, I'm telling you, I'm happy. I'm blessed. Man, because, you know, I'm not under the curse. Amen. I'm under grace. I'm under the blessings of God. Amen. Are you blessed or are you happy? Amen. So I hope, you know, those appetizers would be a really, really good gourmet food for you to enjoy. I mean, it's like an entree already, right? Jehoshaphat, the untouchable, you know, like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Your root is becoming stronger. So, beloved of God, I just want to encourage you. Amen. You are growing. Don't be discouraged, right? Well, Pastor, it seems like I'm not growing. Have you ever watched a tree growing? I mean, you watch day after day, it seems like the tree is not growing at all, right? But what if you come back a year later? So, beloved of God, just want to let you know, you are like a tree planted by the streams of living water. And talking about water, right? We're going to talk about the water of purification today, right? Later in the entree. The Bible says that you were bought with the blood of Jesus. Amen? And my job as a pastor is to feed you. So, again, it's a spiritual food. Amen. And I believe today the teaching and the preaching will be a fresh revelation for you to see Jesus like you have never seen before and be encouraged with the truth of the Word of God today. Amen. Shall we pray first before we start? Just like before you eat your food, sometimes you give thanks to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the Word today. Father, I pray that you give us a hearing heart. Help us not to be sleepy. Help us to enjoy the food today and just be encouraged like never before to see the fresh revelation of Jesus that will really, really benefit our lives and the lives of our family and our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, are you ready? It's going to be different today. It's going to be different. We're going to be diving a little bit deep. Is that okay? Into the Word. Who's not ready? If you're not ready, raise your hand. I just reverse it. If you say, who's ready, raise your hand. Nobody raises their hand, right? So, who's not ready for the main entree? Raise your hand. Okay, so you're all ready. We're good. We're good. All right, so first slide. This is the verse that we left off from last Sunday. Amen? This is from Hebrews 10. 22 from the New King James Version Bible. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice in this verse, there are two things that's mentioned here that allows us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, you have no doubt. All right, this is something that is a full assurance of faith. Number one, having your heart sprinkled. Say heart sprinkled. Number two, bodies washed with pure water. Say bodies washed with pure water. Bodies washed with pure water. Notice your heart is supposed to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. We talked about that last Sunday, right? That evil conscience is the conscience that even though your conscience knows that the price had been paid, right? Jesus paid for your sins. But if you're not hearing the gospel, sometimes that conscience can become evil. It's like asking you to pay for your home mortgage after you pay off your home mortgage. Do you understand? That's evil, don't you think? If someone sends you a bill for you to pay the mortgage for your house when you already paid off the mortgage, that's evil. That's what the evil conscience does, all right? So you want to keep on hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says our hearts are sprinkled with blood. The blood is talking about the death of Jesus. Am I right? Did you know that George Washington, the first president of the United States, died of bloodletting? You know, they thought that this sickness, if I just cut my wrist or whatever, I don't know. Back then, the medical procedures were really, really not as advanced. So they thought, well, there's a lot of toxins in your blood, right? So let the blood come out and then the new blood will come out. Well, he died because of that, of bloodletting, George Washington, right? So when you think of the blood, you're thinking of what? Life. And so when we're talking about being sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, we're talking about Jesus' life was taken away from him so that you can live. Right? So any evil conscience in your heart that says, die, 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 in the name of Jesus, be silent. Hearts be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. This is very important for you to know, right? Because if you don't know this, we can't move on to the next one. Because the next part that will allow you to draw near to God with full assurance of faith, it says your body needs to be washed with pure water. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, right? We're going to dive in a bit deep, right? Those of you who are Bible scholars, you love to study Bible deep, this is going to be one of your favorite messages today. Right? Because the Lord opens up my eyes to see the scripture here that I did not see even as early as last week. Last week I was just like, hey, church, remember your body needs to be washed with water. And the water is talking about the Word of God. And then let's move on to the next verse. If I stop there, I missed a lot of wonderful nuggets here in the scripture. All right? Notice this water is not any water. Say pure water. Okay? What is this pure water that is able to wash our body? You're going to be amazed. Oh, you're some of the happiest people to be hearing this fresh revelation. Amen, beloved of God? Let me explain to you what this pure water. Every word of God has a special meaning. Why it says pure water? I mean, don't you think that the Holy Spirit can say, hey, make sure your bodies is washed with water? That's enough, right? You know it's water. What is this pure water? Well, there is a mystery in this scripture. In order to understand what the Holy Spirit is talking about, this pure water, you have to go back to the Old Covenant in Numbers 19, because there is a ritual back then for people in the Old Covenant that they can be washed with pure water, and that is the water of purification. Say, water of purification.
Water of purification.
Wow. Did you learn something? So that pure water is not just talking about listening to the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. If you dive in deeper, there is a hidden secret here, right? For you to know that this water is a special water. It's called the water of purification. Now, let's dive in deeper on what people in the Old Covenant did with this ceremony, this ritual called the water of purification ceremony. Are you ready? So far, so good? Am I going too fast? No? Heart sprinkle, body washed with pure water. What's this pure water? Next. The water of purification. Right? Now, do you see the picture of the slide? What is this animal? Anybody can tell me what this animal is? What?
The red heifer.
Wow. Somebody is really, really good. Did you say a red heifer? Ding, 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 ding. Come on down. you just won $100 million, okay? I mean, that's amazing. Red heifer. Okay, good, good. So this is a picture of a red heifer. A young cow, okay? A young cow. A red heifer. It's a very rare breed, by the way, in Israel, expensive animal. Kind of strange, right? what does the water of purification, or this pure water that the book of Hebrews says, has anything to do with the red heifer? Well, when you study in Numbers 19, so you want to write it down for you to study further at home, if you want to read further on this ceremony. It's called the water of purification ceremony. Now, what happens is that this animal has to be without defect, has to be young, without defect, and the Bible says that the animal needs to be taken outside the camp. Does this remind you of someone that was taken outside the camp, outside the gate, right? Who is that? Jesus. So this red heifer is a picture of Jesus. He was young, he was in his 30s, right? And he was crucified outside the camp, outside the gate, outside Jerusalem, right? And so this young animal is taken out there, and then the animal was killed, right? The animal was killed, and the priest will take the blood of the animal, and the priest will sprinkle the blood 7 times in the direction of the camp of meeting. So I'm not picking this thing at random. This does have a connection with Hebrews, because Hebrews talk about your heart sprinkled with blood, right? Here also is saying in this same ritual, same thing here, the types and shadows, the animal's blood was sprinkled 7 times towards the direction of the camp of meeting. And then what happened? The animal will be burned. It's going to be burned into ashes. I'm going to explain to you a little bit about ashes. Anybody know the picture of ashes in the Old Covenant? What does that symbolize, ashes? Now, what happened when you burn something, and then that something cannot be burned anymore? It will become ashes, right? So the ashes is a types and shadow that points to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, finished work. So when you think of ashes, what do you think of? You think of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? The fire will stop, you know, devouring whatever the object that is devouring. Once it becomes ashes, it's finished. It's finished. There's nothing left to burn. The fire will die, right? And so that's what happened with the ashes. Now, interesting enough, the ashes of this red heifer is going to be kept in a special place outside the camp. And it's going to be used as part of this water of purification ceremony. Right? So I'm going to read you the scriptures that you have a scriptural basis of what's going on here. Next, this is Numbers 19:9. Someone who is ceremonially clean will gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them in a purified place outside the camp. They'll be kept there for the community of Israel to use in the water of the purification ceremony. This ceremony is performed for the removal of sin. Say, for the removal of sin. For the removal of sin. Do you see that? So this ceremony called the water of purification ceremony is about the removal of sin. Or from the NIV Bible, is the purification from sin. It's for the purification from sin. It's a ceremony for the removal of sin, but it's not the kind of sin that you typically think of. I'm going to show you later the kind of sin that it's talking about here. It's not talking about, for example, somebody steals in the camp, right? Somebody steals somebody's goats or somebody's lamb. That's a sin, right? Now, this is not talking about that kind of sin, a trespass, or somebody lies or cheats. Right? Those are sin, right? Now, this is not talking about that kind of sin. I'm going to show you, very interesting, the types of sin that's being removed here is the sin that is, for the lack of better terms, guilty by association. Have you heard of sin guilty by association? I mean, you're not the one who steal the money, right? Right? But it so happens that thief is someone that lives in your family, and then you are guilty by association. That is the kind of sin that we're talking about here, the removal of sin, right? Now, if it's all about stealing money, cheating, and all these things, we all understand. But here's something that I believe the Holy Spirit will give you the blessing to know, all right? Let's look at the kind of sin that this water of purification will take care of, shall we? Here's from Numbers 19 again. This is verse 11 to 12. All those who touch a dead human body will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. They must purify themselves on the third and seventh days with the water of purification. Then they will be purified. So, see, the kind of sin that is taken care of by this water of purification, if someone touch a dead human body. Say if you work in a hospital, you touch a corpse. This water of purification is to handle that. Second scenario, second type of sin. This is verse 14. It applies when someone dies inside a tent. Because remember, the book of Numbers is the book of wanderings. This is when Israel was still wandering in the desert. They don't live in houses, they live in tents back then. So, applies when someone dies inside a tent, all those who enter that tent and those who were inside when the death occurred will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. So not just touching a dead body, alright? If you happen to be in the same room as a dying person and the person died, right? It says you become ceremonially unclean, and if so happens, like you enter that room as the person was dying, you become ceremonially unclean. This is what you apply this water of purification ceremony for. Notice it's not about stealing, killing, right? It's just like guilty by association. I can't help it. You know, I'm a surgeon, I'm a doctor, I'm supposed to touch this dead body, right? Or I happen to be in the same room as a dying person. And look at the third scenario. This is from verse 16. If someone touches a human bone or a grave, that person will be defiled for 7 days. So if you touch a human bone or even touch a grave, it says defiled for 7 days. So this water of purification deals with things pertaining to death. Did you see that? What's the common denomination between all these three scenarios that people are supposed to apply this water of purification ceremony? It's got to do with death. Touching a dead body, happen to be in the same room as a person who died, or touching a grave, it all has to do with death. Do you see what I'm saying? And here is something that I want to encourage you, beloved of God. If you know the value of what Jesus has done through His finished work, right? Because the ashes, again, is a type and shadow of the finished work of Jesus. Jesus bore all the fiery judgment of all our sins at the cross until there's no more fire left, there's no more anger, there's no more judgment of God left. And He cried, "It is finished." That's the picture of the ashes of the heifer. And here, we've learned that through this water of purification ceremony, it is specifically to make you clean from any defilement in life because of anything that is associated with death. Do you know what I'm saying? So far, so good. Do you see where the Holy Spirit is leading us here? Right? There is a greater significance. Now, in the Old Covenant, it's all about ceremonial thing, right? But in the New Covenant, there is a substance beyond just, well, you can come back to the camp now, you are clean. You can fellowship with people again. There is a deeper significance on this revelation. Once your heart is sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, and your body washed with pure water, beloved of God, you have the power even to keep death far away from your dwelling place. All the defilement that can be caused by death, if you have this revelation of the water of purification revelation, death will not be able to come into your dwelling place. So I'm sharing something. I hope you hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you, beloved of God, right? Sickness is a form of death. right? Before a person dies, they usually have a problem with cancer, heart disease, that kind of stuff, right? Depression is a form of death. Chronic stress, chronic worry, chronic fear, phobias. All these things are a form of death. Don't you think so? And God is saying here, if you have the revelation of what my Son has done for you, the finished work of my Son, where he was already burned to ashes, that means there's no more punishment left for you, right? There's no more judgment, anger of God against you. Because the fire already stopped burning. The fire cannot burn the ashes any further. It's done. It's a finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Now watch carefully how people in the Old Covenant are cleansed from the defilement that is associated with death. You want to know how they can be ceremonially clean? Again, these are all types and shadows. Please don't go and buy a red heifer. Please don't slaughter any animals. We don't kill animals anymore today, right? Because Jesus already become that red heifer for us. They're all types and shadows that's pointing to today, substance. Now watch carefully how people were cleansed back then from any defilement because they touched a dead human body, or they happened to be in the same room as a dying person that died, and they happened to touch the grave, right? All those things. Watch how they were cleansed. Next. This is Numbers 19, verse 17 to 18 from the New Living Translation Bible. To remove the defilement, put some of the ashes from the burnt purification offering in a jar. Right? And it says, and pour fresh water over them. Then someone who is ceremonially clean must take a hyssop branch and dip it into the water. That person must sprinkle the water on. Did you see how they clean people who are defiled because of association by death? It says, basically you take the ashes of the red heifer and then you pour fresh water over them, right? So this water that you read in the book of Hebrews is not just talking about pure water. It's talking about the water that has been mixed with the ashes of a red heifer. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the procedure, and it says, then someone who is ceremonially clean must take a hyssop branch. Do you know what a hyssop branch looks like? Well, this picture is right there, right? That's a hyssop branch, right? Now, that was the kind of like the sprinkling system back then during Moses. They take a branch like this, right? They dip, and then, let me sprinkle you, right? And it's supposed to be done by someone who is ceremonially clean. Practically today, a pastor, okay? A Pastor Henry, for example. And he's supposed to sprinkle you. Alright? You know what? He's supposed to preach to you Jesus and His finished work. That is the practical application today. How you can be cleansed, okay, through this, you know, back then it was ceremonial, it was a ritual, right? But now, this is the real deal now. This is something that will really, really have a real life practical benefit. Right? When someone sprinkle using a hyssop, that water that's full of the ashes of the red heifer, he's talking about, beloved of God, someone preaching to you, again, Jesus and the fact that he already bore all the fiery judgment of all your sin when he finished the work at the cross until there's no more anger left in God. There's no more fiery judgment of God left. Amen. It's already burned to ashes. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I hope you hear. Didn't I tell you it's a fresh revelation? How many of you have never heard this before? This is the first time you heard about the water of purification in the Bible? Hey, it's in your Bible all this time, okay? It's in the Bible all this time. It's a beautiful, beautiful ceremony that points us, right, to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, beloved of God. So, I encourage you, amen, allow the preached word of God that's full of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep on sprinkling you. To keep on sprinkling you. Alright? So that death cannot come near your family. All the defilement that can be caused by death cannot come near as you are reminded of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you hear what Pastor Henry is sharing with you? Amen? It's so beautiful, right? There's no more anger of God towards you left. Did you know that God is not angry at you? Well, of course, Pastor, I've been living holy this past 7 days. No, even when you lost your temper, even when you're not all that you're supposed to be, even in the middle of that time, because it's a finished work, it's only ashes. The red heifer was burned to ashes. There's no more fiery anger of God left. That means today, in the middle of your weakness, in the middle of your sin, God can still be good to you. God can still love you. God can still say, keep on singing that my mercies endures forever. Bless the Lord, because His chesed, His grace, His mercy endures forever. Even in the middle that you know that you're not all that you're supposed to be. And when you keep on hearing the words that is full of the water of purification like this, what happens is death will be kept at bay. In other words, beloved of God, do you think it's for no reason that God used the word soma, which is the word that describes your physical body that is supposed to be washed with pure water? I believe there is a correlation here. There is a connection between hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything's about Jesus. Everything's about what He has done at the cross. None of you, all of Christ. It's all about Jesus and His finished work. There's a correlation, hearing the gospel and your body being clean. You know, Jesus, when He healed the leper, He did not say, be healed. He said, be clean. So when your body is clean, you automatically won't have the problem with sickness, diseases like leprosy. Leprosy back then is like the cancer of today, because there was no cure back then. Right? So whatever is sickness, problems, challenges, anything that smells with a stench of death, God says, allow someone who is ceremonially clean, someone who has the revelation of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to sprinkle you, to sprinkle you with hyssop, right? Hyssop is also a picture of tongue in the Bible. It's a picture of tongue. It's the small member of your body, but it can set fire. Okay? So, beloved of God, please remember, everything that you hear outside has either life or death. In fact, the Bible says life and death is in the power of your tongue. And those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you understand? So Pastor Henry can speak words of life to you, right? But what if you listen more to the words that is full of death? Well, according to that verse, it says, right? Those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you don't want death in your life, if you don't want to have the bad stuff happening in your life, all the fruits of death, then make sure you listen to the water of purification gospel that is full of the ashes of the red heifer, which is a picture of Jesus and His finished work at the cross, so that your body can be clean. Amen? Amen? Once your body is clean, any disorder in your body will automatically be taken care of. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen? Because God wired your body in such a way that if you hear the gospel, your body has the ability to repair itself, to heal itself. The cells in your body right now, 7 years ago, most of them were not there. Every 7 years, our cells are supposed to be rejuvenating itself. So God is saying that with this revelation, allow the fresh water, the pure water of the Word, that's full of the red heifer, the ashes of the red heifer, that reminds you, you're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you. You know,
mercy is yours. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Are you seeing something that you didn't see before? Man, I was thinking, Father God, you know, blessed are those who hear the message today, because it's a fresh revelation. Many of you, this is the first time you've heard about the water of purification ceremony. This first time you heard about the red heifer offering, by the way, right? Yeah. Amen? Are you blessed or are you blessed?
Blessed.
Yeah? Okay. Can you take one more entree? Just one more. Because if I wait until next week, I'm losing the momentum here, right? Next. Okay, this is Hebrews 10:22. This time, I'm going to show you the same verse, but it's from the Young's literal translation. This is very accurate. Same Hebrews 10:22, not from the New King James Version Bible, from the Young's literal translation Bible. Listen to what the Young's translation says. May we draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having the hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having the body bathed with pure water. And here's the amazing thing of what Jesus has done at the cross, right? As I already showed you, in the old covenant, people were sprinkled. You know, when I sprinkle you, it's not totally clean. Maybe it will touch part of your head, part of your hand. You know, you're being sprinkled. The language here that is being used is the word bathe. Say bathe. Now, when you are bathed, right, you're not being sprinkled. It touches the whole body. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's something different about taking a bath and just washing your face and washing your hand. It's not just sprinkling. It's being bathed. Jesus has done such a thorough, finished work, beloved of God, that He has washed you with the water of regeneration. In Titus 3:5, He has washed you with the washing of rebirth. In other words, from the moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were bathed, totally bathed, with this pure water. Amen. And do you believe it? The Greek tense here is in the perfect passive tense. Now, a perfect tense in Greek means is an action that does not have to be repeated again. Like when Jesus, in John 19:30, He said, "It is finished." Alright? That is in the perfect tense. That means Jesus does not have to keep on dying at the cross again and again. Same tense here is being used. You were bathed once and for all with the washing of rebirth. You are supposed to be reminded by someone who's ceremonially clean, sprinkling you with the message that's full of the finished work, to remind you, hey, you have been bathed. Not just sprinkled, bathed once and for all. And death should not have any power over you anymore, because you have been bathed. You have been washed, having the body washed with pure water. And it's talking about your whole body. Amen? Beloved of God, are you blessed or are you blessed? No. And for biblical scholars who like to study this further, the word body there, unlike in the New King James Version, it was bodies, plural. Guess who is actually correct? Is it bodies, plural, or is it bodies, singular? Anybody want to guess? Singular? He's right. Singular. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Now, I mean, don't you think that there is a significance everything in the Bible? Right? In the Greek here, it's not like in your King James Bible or the New King James Bible. It says, your bodies, plural, being washed. That means, you know, your body is washed, your body is washed, my body is washed, your body is washed, your body is washed. Here, it says, having the body, singular, bathed with pure water. When you look up that word body, right, in the Greek is the word soma. One other definition of that in the New Covenant is referring to the body of Christ, who is you and I as one body, the church. Say the church. The church. So the church, the body of Christ, bathe once for all with this pure water. So beloved of God, make it your priority, alright, to not neglect the time of coming together as a corporate body. Because there is a purification here that's so amazing as the body of Christ. Not sprinkled, but bathed. Your whole body. Something about coming together as a church that the Holy Spirit can release this washing that is so thorough. It touches your whole body, every part of your body, just by being one with the body of Christ in the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? Yes, so beloved of God, men, I'm glad that it came out really well. I'm glad that it came out really well. Amen? Hallelujah. Beloved of God, I hope that was a lot of things for you to meditate on, to enjoy throughout this week. Amen? Once we make this teaching available online, I hope that you listen to it again and again and feed on the good word of Christ and allow your hearts sprinkled by the blood, your body washed with pure water, not just any water, pure water, full of the ashes of the red heifer. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I believe that's the last one. Can we move to the next one? There you go. I gave you the whole enchilada today. I did not withhold anything that will be beneficial and profitable for you. Amen? Are you blessed? Amen. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen.